Thank you for that. That was nice that Brother Machado was up here reading the scripture when he was supposed to without having to be called out. So thank him for being faithful. A couple of years, I like history. Who likes history? I do. I like history and I like to learn about it and stuff. A couple of years ago was the 50th anniversary of the Apollo space landing. I always find that interesting because the computers they use to fly to the moon, I have more computing power in my iPhone, right? And I would not trust my iPhone to fly. I don't even trust my iPhone to take me from here to home. So it was a very dangerous mission. But during that time, there was a lot of specials. I saw a special, and you know, you get the old grainy video, and here they are flying and everything. But I found it interesting. They have a mission control center, and as they get towards the countdown to liftoff, they have this room full of these engineers. They all look like geeks, right? And not just geeks today, they look like 60s geeks. And a bunch of guys chain smoking, coffee drinking, which that's a good thing. And they all had the short sleeve white dress shirts, the plastic pocket protectors. I imagine those guys didn't get a lot of dates, right? But they're all sitting there, and they all have this little tiny computer, and it's not like we think of computers. It's just a bunch of numbers and whatever. And they all have one specific part of the rocket and the takeoff that they watch, just one. They're responsible for that one. And as the countdown gets to a certain point, they go through and say, okay, we're getting ready for liftoff. And then they say they're going to check for preparedness, and they're like, they go to each engineer. And based on the data they get, they make a call as to whether the rocket is ready to take off. If they notice something wrong in their area, they can abort it just like that. And they go through and they're like, all right, here we go, let's count down. And they'll go through each one, I don't know if you've ever seen it. And they'll go and they all say it in order, like geek talk. But they'll use one word. They'll say whatever their thing is, you know, data entry. And they use one word to tell that they're ready, and it's the word what? Go. And if they all say go, 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 liftoff happens. Now, what does that go mean? It means that everything they've worked on for all of whatever those months or years, and everything they've put together to go on this mission, it's all in place, and it's all ready, and there's nothing keeping the rocket from taking off. That's what it means. And it's all fulfilled, it's all initiated by all of them saying the one word, go. Once they hear that word, launch is on, and they're taking off. I'll come back to that in a minute. The texts that we look at are not texts that we don't know well. If you've been around a church at all, you probably know the type of messages is going to be already by just looking at the verses. These are the verses given by Jesus towards the end of his life. He has resurrected from the dead already. His ministry on this earth, it's coming to an end. His disciples, his key 12, which is now down to 11 because one of them was a traitor, are down to 11. The 12th one will come in the book of Acts. He's got them trained, and they are front and center. And the people that will be reached by them also are going to need to be instructed. That's why he trained this men. So everything's ready. Think about the disciples at this time. We think of the disciples as these super spiritual guys. They had everything down. They knew exactly what was happening. That was not true. Jesus was killed, and to be honest with you, they were confused about it. They didn't quite get it, although Jesus on several occasions had alluded to it and told them about it, and they still didn't get it. They placed their hope in their Savior, yes, but they had a different plan than the one that he had, and their hope seemed to be lost. They had to come to grips with the news then later on that this one who they were confused about who died, now they're hearing rumors that he's no longer in the grave. And now they're seeing him appear to them physically. A lot of confusion was in their mind. That was a lot to take in. But they needed to be ready because Pentecost was coming. We often talk about Peter and how he denied the Lord and he swore that he didn't know Jesus at all. And yet 50 days later, he's going to be preaching at Pentecost and 3,000 people are going to come to know Jesus Christ and join the church. The early church is ready to go. The book of Acts is now ready to become a reality. So what is Jesus doing in these verses? He's giving them some commands. He's giving them the encouragement that they will need through these commands to go forward. Really, what he is giving them is the purpose, or what we would, you know, some organization, the purpose statement of the believers and the church. These are going to be the last thing that Jesus says before he leaves this earth. And it's the ultimate commander of all time giving the details and the marching orders to his soldiers. So what is Jesus telling him? He's telling them that the cross is over. Sin has been paid for. And thank God for that. Our sin is now paid for because of the death of Jesus Christ in our place. He's also telling them that death has been conquered. He's risen from the grave. By the way, if Jesus had just died and been buried in a tomb and he had stayed there until this day, he isn't who he said he was. And our sins, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians, we'd still be in our sins today. But thank God, he conquered death and he conquered the grave. Amen. He also is telling them the power has been given to him. Given to who? To Jesus Christ. For what? For the work that he wants them to do. And then he's telling them, you have a job now. And the job is the work of the gospel. All of that's in place. Jesus is leaving. He's going to give it to them. But there's something that needs to happen in order for everything he's telling them to do, in order for that to become a reality. And by the way, the thing he's telling them is not just for them to make what he told them to do a reality. We call it the Great Commission. It's also true for us in our church if we're going to do what God tells us to do and make his commands to them, which are really nothing more than his commands to us, a reality in our lives and in our church. All that's left now, after everything Jesus told them, is their response. And it's the same response we need to have. And it's just one word. It's the same word we heard before the liftoff. It's the word, go. You see, Jesus could pay the greatest price, our sin debt, and he did. Jesus could conquer the greatest foe, that's death, and he did. Jesus could possess the greatest power, that's God's power, and he does. And Jesus could delegate the greatest job in the world, which is sharing the gospel, and he has. But it all depends on a go. Everything God wants to do in your life, individually, demands a go. Everything God wants to do in this church demands a go. Everything God wants to accomplish in our city demands a go. Everything God wants to accomplish in our community and going out from there to the entire world, the job of getting the gospel out, demands a go. So what's the problem? The problem we have seen in churches across our country, particularly in the last 2 years, is a depletion of the go. We've seen that. We've allowed COVID to slow us down. By the way, it's to an end. I don't care what that doctor who shall remain nameless, who ought to go back to his cave, says. It's pretty much come to an end. People are pretty much back to normal. I'm not downplaying what happened. I'm just saying it's pretty much run its course. We've allowed the practices of the world to slow us down. We know everything that's going on about what in this world, and I get it, but we've allowed that to slow us down. By the way, we got used to it. Over the course of the last 2 years, a lot of people got to work at home. And can I just tell you something? And I don't blame them. I'd rather continue to work at home. Things have changed. There's going to be a lot of open office space coming up. We've allowed our flesh to slow us down. The flesh naturally doesn't want to go out and serve the Lord. Sometimes we've allowed other Christians to slow us down. We see what's happening in Christianity. We see what's happening with other Christians. By the way, we're never supposed to compare ourselves to other Christians. We're supposed to compare, and if you want to compare yourself, we're supposed to compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, and that's not a good comparison for us. We've allowed apathy to slow us down. You know what apathy is? I just don't care. Or I do care, but not enough to do anything. You know, I've talked to many pastors over the last few years, particularly as we've come out of this, and you know, most of them will say, you know, there's a certain things in our church that haven't quite got up to par or up to snuff, and we're not the same as we were before COVID and all that. And I will commend our church. We've pretty much in most areas got back to where we were. And to be honest with you, in several areas, we're farther down the road than we were. But if I'm honest, which I try to be every now and then, I don't even know where that phrase comes from. But if I'm honest, what does that mean? Sometimes we lie? Probably. But if I'm honest, I can still see a bit in our church and in our lives that needs to be challenged and changed. I think a few of us need to be stirred a little bit more and shaken a little bit more to do the things we're supposed to do. So what do I want to do tonight? I want to briefly, I have to use that word because it's a little scary when I say there's five things. I want to briefly look at five areas where we need to go. We need to go. First of all, we need to go and submit. If we look at the commands that are given, they all demand obedience. And it tells us in the verses, in some of the verses, and really throughout the Bible, it tells us the extent to which God wants us to be involved, the extent to which God wants us to be obedient to the Scriptures. And that's the word all. It's associated with the Great Commission. We read it. It's also throughout the Bible. Deuteronomy 6:5, the first time this is mentioned, Jesus also repeated it. But thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. God says it about our love for him. You know how much we're supposed to love God? With everything that we have. God doesn't want just a little bit. God wants it all. Jesus repeated that in the New Testament. We know that. Jesus also shared it in the parameters of how and where we should go. He says, "There, go ye therefore and teach all nations." Do you know there's nowhere wrong that we can go to take the gospel? There's no person we can go to anywhere, any place, any time that's not wrong. I think Jesus just expects us to go get it done. Jesus stated it when talking about discipling and the level of obedience. He says, teaching them to observe all things whithersoever I have commanded you. He says, look, when someone is a new Christian, they're coming in, and if you're a Christian and God's allowed you to be an encouragement to them, you teach them everything. Don't hold anything back on them. All. Jesus is looking for complete submission. You know that's hard to give, isn't it? It's just hard. Too many Christians are double-minded. One week, they want to be a missionary to Mars. The next week, you can't even find them. They're nowhere to be found. They don't even show up for soul winning. Some are unfaithful. Man, they're in. But sometimes they just don't show up. Sometimes they're just not there. Some are half-hearted. We do some of the things we're supposed to do, but we don't do it with the passion and the energy which we should. Say, what kind of passion and energy should we have? The same kind of passion and energy you have when you're watching your favorite sports team. I mean, if I'm watching a football game with our boys and we're watching a team we like, I don't want them to lose. Okay? Now, far too often they have. Yeah, that's just the reality of it. But, you know, we get into that, right? And we don't care. If they score, we're gonna jump up and act like a maniac. But when it comes to things of God, it's, ooh.
Come on.
That's easy. Too many Christians are cafeteria-style selective. Well, you know, I'll give my passion to this thing, but this over here, I don't want to do that. We're optional. We believe in options. In other words, if God said something, I have an option, yes or no. By the way, I will say this. You do have an option, yes or no. But if we say no, we're being disobedient to our God in heaven. And some people just flat out just aren't committed. It's amazing. We'll commit to everything but the things that we should. Now, as we go on, if we are not committed to obedience in this area, submission to God, we won't be obedient to the other areas. It all starts with submission to God. James lays it out very, very easy. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Now he also tells us to resist the devil. It's kind of hard to resist the devil if you're not submitting yourselves to God. So what are we supposed to do? The first area we got to go, we got to go submit. Let's be excited about getting under the commands of Scripture instead of fighting it. Secondly, I would also say we need to go, and let me explain it. I wanted them all to start with an S. This is the only one that kind of go and sit. You say, Pastor, I'm good at that. That's not what I meant. I mean, be in church. Faithfully attending and participating in church is a clear command of God. You say, I'm here on a Sunday night, Pastor. I get it. I know. Let me make a few applications of that. There's a couple verses. There's a couple portions of Scripture which talks about church. I want to briefly touch. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's a good thing, right? To love each other, to provoke us to work for the Lord and be encouraged and doing things for God. But where is that going to happen? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as I see the day, as you see the day approaching. Now let me translate this. This verse is telling us we are to be a blessing to our fellow believers and encouraging to love and serve. Amen. That's clear. By the way, that's part of church. Amen. We ought to encourage one another. Amen. I know the church service is the most important thing, and hearing the word of God taught is the important thing. But you know, also before and after church, being together, encouraging one another, that's a big deal. Amen. We're not to forsake or abandon being together regularly. That's what the word forsake means. It means abandon. Yep. We are to be assembled together. Don't forsake not the assembly. Well, you know, I had church at home with one other person. That's not assembly. Right. That's not church. Okay? Church is being together with God's people. Amen. We are to exhort one another. And he says, just to tie it up, we're supposed to do it more, not less. Amen. All of that requires something. It requires actually being together. Amen. That involves going to church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, let me read a few verses there. And they that gladly received his word, this is on Pentecost. After they received his word, the gospel was preached by Peter. These thousands of people received Christ. They accepted the message. They accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they were baptized. And the same day were added unto them, who? The other believers, about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine that? Having 3,000 people hear the message of the gospel, accept Christ as Savior right there, get baptized right there, and join themselves with the rest of the church that day. Amen. And they continue. This group together, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers, ordinances. Fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, having all things common. So what are they saying? This verse, after salvation and baptism, they joined the group of believers. They were faithfully learning the doctrine from the apostles. How? They couldn't do that if they weren't meeting together. They were fellowshipping or being together. How can you hang out with someone in a spiritual sense if you're not even there present with them? Okay, there's no Zoom fellowship. We had to do that. I get it during COVID. That's over. Your relationship shouldn't depend on an internet connection. Okay. It involved two ordinances of the church. We do the two ordinances of the church where? At church. They prayed together. Kind of hard to do that if you're not together. And just to finalize it, in verse 44, he brings it, they were together. They weren't just a member of church. They were active in their attendance and participation in the church and with fellow believers. From all of this, I gather a few things. God wants us to be attached to the church. Amen. A particular church. God wants us to be learning at church. God wants us to be together at church. And God wants us to be encouraging at church. I'll say this. Being faithful to church has always been an issue for people down throughout all time. You think about the people in Hebrews he was talking to. Those people could have been persecuted for coming to church. There are places around this world where believers could be persecuted just for attending church together. And yet, God thought it was so important and so encouraging and so helpful that he says, do it. Because the benefits far outweigh the consequences. And here we are, we live in a country where we don't have to deal with any of that, and we struggle to make it. I think the last few years have created a mindset and developed habits in some Christians that, I'll just be honest with you, it's not scriptural. We always, back in the day, used to film our services, and we would put the video up online for those that wanted to see it later. But we didn't have live stream. You know when we had live stream? They shut down everything for COVID. I remember it was on a Friday the 13th. You know when we started live streaming for the first time? On Sunday the 15th. And by the way, the police came the very first Sunday. The very first Sunday. We're live streaming. Somebody called and said they're having church over there, and the police showed up. And it's like, we're live streaming. We're allowed to do that. But we're essential, and the police were fine. Then the next day, because the police came out, the health department came out. And it's okay. They understood. We told them what we were doing. We were following. We were live streaming, and it was all good. Nobody got in trouble. But, you know, live stream now has become an option. It's not church. You know what live stream is for? It's for people that are sick. Yeah. Right? You can't make it.
Amen.
We want to be encouragement to them. It's not like, I got up late, I think I'll just sit home and watch a live stream.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you watching the live stream if you're watching me. But it's not church.
Right.
Church is an assembly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I remember those early days of live stream. What we told you was like, and I was jealous, by the way. We said, hey, you know what you do? And when you're watching the services those first few Sundays, send us pictures of your family watching the service so we know that you're with us. And I was jealous. People were sending me pictures, and they're sitting there in their bunny onesie pajamas. And that's the adults. And they're eating burritos and drinking coffee and watching a church service. And I'm like, I want to do that. But I'm pretty sure I don't want to be on live stream in onesie bunny pajamas. Okay? Maybe you should have dressed up and wore whatever. I don't, you know, just take it easy. Just watch it. But those days are over. We miss out on so much. It's not an option. It's not a choice. It's an emergency resort. You're missing out. By the way, all the things we read in those verses, you can't do those online. You can't. And here, I'll move on in a second, but just let me, you know, I'm a pastor. Let me vent for a second. We miss for the easiest reasons. We'll miss church for things we don't miss work for. We do. I'm sorry. And I don't believe in mysterious illnesses. So I don't believe that people only, you know, when you work, you go to work, right? You know, what are the 2 days people get sick at work the most? Come on, someone tell me. Monday and why? 3-day weekend, maybe? We used to work in a warehouse, and it was like we had to finish. We had to get all the orders and load all the trucks, and we didn't go home until they were done. I hated Mondays and I hated Fridays because people didn't come, and here's a few of us here and we're working overtime when if everybody there, we'd get out on time. And I get all that. But let's just say if someone misses 5 Sundays because they're sick, I think you should miss 5 days of work on Monday because you're sick, Tuesday, Wednesday, because illness knows no days. It doesn't seem to be that way. And then, you know, my spouse is sick, so what happens? We both miss church. When I'm sick, I don't want my wife there. I love her. It's like she doesn't need to be there to babysit me. Okay? And the same, you know, what is that all about? Now, if they're seriously ill, I get it. And you need to be there with, I understand that. I'm not discounting that. I'm saying, look, one child's sick, the whole family stays home. Look, one person can watch Bunny Foo Foo. It's not that big a deal. It was nice when we had a baby later on in life, way later on in life. And it was nice that if Emily, when she was a baby, was sick, you know, Mom could take a day, Jessica could take a day, Allison could take a day if she was sick. We didn't have to all miss all the time. But one kid's sick, like, oh, live stream, all got to stay home. Why? Unless the kid's got, you know, the plague or something, then all of you should stay home for a really long time. I get that. Or, you know, during the COVID days, one person, I know, we had to all quarantine. I get that. But that's not happening right now. I'm just saying, and I'm not trying to be mean-spirited here. What I'm saying is, the lights went out in the back. Thank you. What I'm saying is, a mentality creeps in which makes it easy to miss church that we wouldn't have missed before.
Yeah.
We need to go to church. We need to be here. Don't get the football flu. My grandma taught me a great philosophy, and I'll be done with this point. When, if I was sick and I didn't go to school, my grandma, and this is back before we didn't have a television in that room, and if we did, it probably only had three stations, you know, no computers. She made me stay in bed all day. I ate dinner in bed. Can I just tell you something? When I was sick and missed school, the next day, I was going to school whether I was sick or not. I was sick of being in bed. I'm just saying, we're sick, we miss church, but 3 hours later, we're at the mall. Now, so I'm saying, church is important. Let's make it a priority. Number three, we need to go and share. We need to go and share. That is the core of the Great Commission. It's getting the gospel out every opportunity we have in every place. We had a couple visit this morning. And I don't know who invited them at the park yesterday.
Chris and Danny.
That's Danielle. She came in and said, a lady named Danny invited me. And by the way, she said Asian, so I don't know where that came from, Danielle. And I'm like, I know one Danny. Danny Sin. I'm like, she's like, no, that's not her. Danny? You're the only Danny I know that's Danielle. Okay, I get it. So you give her your full name next time. You messed me up. But at the park yesterday, just gave an invitation. They were at church this morning.
Amen.
You know, when we first, 2 years ago, when we went through all this, if you talk to people, they can, there you are, I'm sorry. They can, it's like assault, right? It's like if you talk to somebody, you're assaulting me. Okay, I know you're scared. That's over now. We can talk to people. People are willing to talk to you everywhere you go. It's more open than it's ever been. How do we share the couple things? Why don't we just give an invitation to church? Jesus and Luke gave the parable where there's a wedding feast and they're inviting everybody to come, and all the people he wants to come won't come. And Jesus and the master says, fine, go out in the highway and the hedges and just compel them to come in. My house will be full. He goes, just invite whoever will come. But you got to give an invitation. I didn't know how to witness to people early on, and I couldn't share the gospel with them, but I could get them to church. So I brought them to church, and they could hear the gospel there. Give an invitation. We're about to go into our spring program. It starts in 2 weeks. Hey, let's invite people to be here. Amen. Our Easter tracks will be here this week. Get a handful of those and just invite someone to come to church. Invitations work. Several years ago, Pastor Esposito said, I want to see where people, how they hear about our church. And so I did a survey in the church. I passed out a bunch of things. We tallied the numbers. How'd you hear about the church? These are people that came. Over 50% of them said, we just got an invitation. We really don't know the person. We just got an invitation, so we came. That's more than half. Give an invitation. People will come. We didn't used to use tracts. Easter, we'll have 30,000 tracts this year. We'll pass them out. We didn't used to do that. And I remember the first time we got together, pastor said, let's try it. Let's get some tracts and let's go and fight and just blitz an area. And so we got some tracts, and I took the teenagers out, and we went to a certain area a little bit downtown, a little bit over to the east. And we blitzed the area with that. And the next week, actually a week before Easter, I'm out there waiting for my Sunday school class, and there was a lady sitting in her car. I'm like, you know, who's that? She sat in her car and she got out. I invited her to Sunday school class. You know, that was Juanita Bondoc. First one to ever come from that batch. She's still here all these years later teaching in our Christian school. Never talked to her. She just got an invitation on her door. Let's invite people to church. It takes effort. Remember Friend Day? By the way, they're trying to kill time change now. So that's one element of Friend Day that might die. Okay, but, you know, everybody have a friend to church, and everybody does. And I'm not saying you need to have a bunch of people to church every Sunday with that kind of, but, you know, we can invite people all the time. All the time. But John Castle thinks that shirts without pockets are from Satan. It's like, remember he came up and said, you know, they're making shirts without pockets. You have nowhere to put invitations to church. I'm like, I don't know, put them in your back pocket. He's right, probably. I have shirts without pockets. Let me just say one more. Have a goal. Just grab some tracts. Have them with you. Maybe you can pass out 10 a week. Maybe pass out just one a day. You never know who's going to get that tract.
Amen.
I've passed them out before to people, and I'm like, they're not even going to deal with it. And you walk away, or you look back, and they're like actually reading it. People will look. When we started the church in Monterey Park, they had an Asian lady that came. We had a lot of visitors. We had an Asian lady. No one had seen her before. Some of them we knew because we had met them in the community. And she showed up. It's like, how did you get here? She goes, you know, I got up this morning, and I went outside of my house, and on the ground, I found a piece of paper. And it was an invitation to a grand opening of a church. And she said, so I thought I'd come. That morning, we passed out like 90,000 invitations before we started that church. Somebody threw it on the ground. It ended up in her yard. She picked it up and she showed up for that first Sunday at the church. Invite people. But let's not be satisfied with that. Let's invite people to Christ. Let's invite people to Christ. You say, I don't know how to share the gospel with people. You know, you can learn that. By the way, this is not a shameless plug, but it's kind of a, I don't know, shameless plug. We have a Bible Institute class that just started last Thursday. It starts the second week is this Thursday. You can still come to it, where it's personal evangelism, how to share your faith.
Right.
I didn't know how to share my faith. I told you before, I just took my friends. I said, you need to come to church. And then when the invitation came, I would take them down. And I should have probably talked to them first. I was ignorant. And I'd just take them down to Brother Sisson and say, I didn't even know you should call him to, you know, like, Dave, these people, they don't know Jesus. Talk to them. Okay? But that's nice. But I had to learn. I'd go out with others. I put the gospel in the front of my New Testament so I would know how to say it cohesively so people would understand. But we need to learn how to get the gospel out. Come with us on Tuesday night. We have Tuesday night soul winning. We're going out. We're going to be blitzing this area. Blitzing the area. So it's very, very important. Let's get the gospel out. We're not going to reach anybody if we don't get the gospel to them. The reason maybe we're not winning people is because we're not witnessing. We have to go out. Maybe come out on Saturday. We'll probably have a Saturday or leading up to Easter where we'll have everybody come out and let's just go out for an hour and let's blitz the area. If we do that and you don't typically come, why don't you come for that hour?
Amen.
Let's do something for God for Easter. Next, we need to go and serve. We need to go and serve. Ephesians chapter 2:10 says, we are his workmanship. Workmanship, that just means a new product. Created in Christ Jesus. In other words, when we were saved, we became his workmanship. We became a new product in Jesus Christ. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Isn't that something? God, the two verses before there talk about salvation. And then after that, he says, now you're saved by grace, you're a new product, and he mentions immediately what you're supposed to be doing. Serve the Lord. Get active in doing something for God. Not only that, we're not just saved to serve. Titus says, who gave himself for us, Titus 2:14, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Most of you have that down. Thanks for catching that. Zealous of good works. We're to be saved so that we would be a sanctified people. That's what Titus is telling us. Changed. Who are serious or zealous about serving. Sounds to me like God wants us to do something for him. God doesn't want us to just come and sit in church. And by the way, it is true. Sit, soak, sour. Let's do something. There is so much to do here. We have a lot of people that serve here. We do. And I'm thankful for every single one of you. There is so much, and I don't even know half of it. I do, but I don't know this. But there are so many things that go on in this church on a Sunday morning, even at night, but more Sunday morning. And I don't know all of it, but you know what? There's someone in the background serving. There's someone doing, you know, those buses don't just magically show up with people that were sniffling outside like, serving the Lord. If anything, even though we're doing really good at it, that has taken a hit, it's serving. It's taken people a little bit longer to get back to doing it. See, because we couldn't before. All we could do before was sit in your bunny slippers, eating burritos and drinking coffee. Thank you for sharing that with me. And watching the service. And then when we came back, we had to have those four morning services so we would all fit and be COVID compliant. And all we could do is show up just in time to be at the service, and then we had to leave right away because 30 minutes later we had another crew coming in, so we couldn't serve. There was a few things we could do. We kind of got used to that. But let me just say this, especially if you're a new Christian, nothing helped me more to get forward in my Christian life than getting involved in ministry. Nothing helped me more. Once I started getting involved, things started to change in my life because I wasn't just doing my thing, doing my own thing. You know, I like serving. If I wasn't the pastor, I would just do something in the church. We got the shuttle bus. I don't drive the shuttle bus because we don't have guys that won't do it. We have plenty that said, I'll take a turn. I just enjoy doing it. I don't teach Sunday school some Sundays, and I'm like, let me drive the shuttle bus. I like hanging out. And by the way, thank you, Angie, for setting the bar high. They had a tailgate party over there at the Blue Line. She's handing out Porto's baked goods. Shame on you that didn't park over there today. You missed out. She's over there with her gloves on and plastic bags. You want bread? I'm like, I bought donuts once, and I got them from Seven Star over here. I didn't even go to Krispy Kreme. Okay? But you know what? I enjoy doing that. By the way, thank you for the vacuum ministry. Those families. And it's funny. I already had this message, and then Brother Paul texted me. I'm like, hey, it's your family's turn to vacuum this Thursday night. By the way, I asked to get on that list. I'm like, wow, I want to be involved in that. I can push a vacuum. There's so many things that can be done. And by the way, if you do it, just enjoy it. Have enjoy serving the Lord. And no, even though we have so many people serving, we could always use more. Let me ask you a question. I'm just several things. Ladies, do we all take a turn in the nursery? Good. And look, we figured something out. Do you know the more ladies we have working in the nursery, the less times a lady has to take a slot in the nursery? And I get it. You read the verse in the Bible, there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and it's like, that's a nursery. Okay, I get it. Man, I wouldn't want to be, I love my own kids, but don't stick me in a room with 20 of them and lock the door and say, I'll see you in an hour and a half. I'd probably lose my mind. Okay? But the nursery, we could always use more bus workers. By the way, I think all of our teenagers ought to be on the bus routes. I think it's good for them to be out reaching others. And I don't think it's good for them just to be sitting at home on Saturdays doing nothing. They can come out for a couple hours and go out there. And it's like, our kids were the same way. Look, well, you know, some of the kids out there cuss. Well, some of your kids cuss, okay? I mean, let's just, my in-laws cuss. No, I'm kidding. Well, farmer words. They'd come home and say, I was at a house and the mother was, and some mother was saying this to their kids. Like, do I want my kids hearing those words? No, but I want them to see that, you know what, let's go help somebody. That'd probably be us if it wasn't for church. Say, so I think it was you now. Calm down. And I'm just saying, look, we do need bus drivers. And I'm going to start actively recruiting. So if you're interested, come see me. I'm going to help you get there. By the way, if I say this sincerely, although I don't know how well I drive a bus. I probably run over people. But if my schedule allowed for it, I'd probably get a license and try. I mean, just don't make me drive down like streets where, you know, it's tight. I'll probably take out a couple cars. But, you know, if we had more bus drivers, you just drive either one way. You drive in the morning or you drive at night or in the afternoon. That's really low there, but we'll work on you guys. Maybe one day you could grow so much in your faith that you could say, you know what, I could teach a Sunday school class. By the way, I'll be glad when we get this building done. Amen. I'm driving the shuttle bus. You say, another reason I drive the shuttle bus to see who's parking where they shouldn't. But I'm kidding. Like my family. I pull up over here, and there's Victoria, right? Victoria, you teach outside? She teaches outside. Now, we don't want your kids walking on the bricks, but the fact of the matter is her class has to sit out there on the bricks because we don't have space. And I think, Megan, is that you too? Megan teaches out here, outside. Oh, the beautiful new church, the front of the church. You know what they're going to see on Sunday? They're going to see two Sunday school classes. And by the way, it's not just those two. There's a lot of you in here that teach Sunday school. Thank you for that. Teaching out on the bench back here. We're working something out. Don't worry. We're trying to fix this thing. We just don't have room. We need volunteers that can help us clean and work on the building. And just go on and on and on and on and on. Just say, you know what I would say? I'd say, okay, what can I do? Is there my little piece of the pie where I can pitch in? And let me just say this, and we'll move on to the last one. The last one will be really quick. Don't just get involved, but be passionate about it.
Amen.
How can I be passionate? I knew you were going to ask. Be faithful and never miss.
Amen.
You know what's frustrating? It's frustrating if you say, I'll do that job, and then you don't show up. And I can pick any ministry, Sunday school teacher, nursery, and the leader's waiting there. It's like, I've got to now run around and find somebody. By the way, a choir. I love the choir. If I could sing, I'd be in the choir. But I'd probably make people cry if I sang. I'd cry. It'd be bad. But let's be faithful to it.
Amen.
And I get it. Sometimes you got a cold or whatever. I get all that. But if we're just missing, because like, I'll just take this week off. Here's one. Be on time and never late. Be on time. There's no reason. I always ask, look, I always try to compare what I'm doing to my, you call it a real job, your job in the world, right? If you were as late to your ministry as many times, if you were late that many times to your job, would you get fired?
Yep.
Probably not, because they can't find workers nowadays. But back before COVID, right? Well, why don't we do that with God's work?
Amen.
Just be on time. You say, I struggle with that. Let me give you help. Two words. Alarm clock. Don't be a bystander. And be excited about it. And I know, I don't know how you get excited about being in the nursery and changing diapers, but, you know, maybe a latte or something will help you with that, or an espresso. I don't know what it is. And then lastly is this. Just go and sacrifice. There's many verses about that. Luke said, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. We talked about that with the disciples. after Jesus worked on them, they gave up everything. And we're not asking you to give up everything, right? We're just asking you, like, it does take, I'm going to be honest, it takes a little bit of sacrifice to do things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to come early, to drive a bus, you got to come early. To drive a shuttle, you got to come early. To work in the nursery, you got to come early. All those, I get it. By the way, God bless you in the choir. I do appreciate you very much, because on Sunday afternoons, you got to come early from choir practice. I get all that. And by the way, God appreciates that. And when we're blessed hearing you sing, we appreciate that. But it takes a little sacrifice. We have to be willing to give up a little of our time. Coming from home on a Tuesday night, and I get it, it's better to stay home, you know, but to spend, what, turnaround time 2 hours just to come to go out and share the gospel, could we sacrifice that?
Amen.
Could we sacrifice a little time on Saturday, be in our bus routes, be in our place, be on time Sunday morning? You say, well, I just, you know, you can be an encouragement to somebody. Those of you that have been here for a while, you know, that really, you can be an encouragement to new people. Maybe sometimes we don't realize that. Just saying hi. Can we go out of our comfort zone to be blessing to new people? Talk to them. These are just basic things. I always think, if everybody in our church this year went out, met somebody, reached them, and got them faithful into church, everybody... that balcony wouldn't cover us once we can get into it on Sunday morning.
No.
It wouldn't. And I get it. I'm oversimplifying it, but just giving up some of our time. You know, we have to see that we have so many things going on in our life, but you know what we need to really see? That really the important thing in our life is, what do we do for the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
What are we doing to make a difference in people's lives? Do you know people that aren't saved or don't go to church, they don't have that opportunity.
Yeah.
On some scale they can, but not as easily as you do. I read a story this week. There was a man named Millard Fuller. Millard Fuller became a millionaire by the time he was 29 years old. He was financially set for life. He came home from work one day and his wife was gone. All that was left was a note. I'm out of here for good. I'm tired of living this wealthy life. There's no meaning. I'm done. He went, searched for her. He found her. She was staying in a hotel trying to figure out her next step. He said he found her. He went into the hotel room. He talked to her. They talked about their life. They talked about the futility of just living for money and for things. And they came to a decision. They said, he was going to quit whatever he was doing. We're going to sell off, get rid of our money. We're going to quit living for money. And we're going to do something that we feel is of value to help people less fortunate than us. You know what he did? Him and his wife founded something. You may have heard of it. Habitat for Humanity. I don't know the pros and cons of that. They built houses in poor areas for people that need housing. But you know what? They had everything this world wants. They said, but we're not doing anything for anybody.
Good.
And it was starting to eat at their marriage. You see, we have a great opportunity as Christians. Our politicians all talk about making a difference. And what's the result of that? $6 a gallon. Wood is like gold now. Don't invest in Bitcoin. Invest in plywood. Okay? They don't have the answers. Far too often, our politicians hurt the very people they say they want to help because their policies don't jive with reality. But we have an opportunity.
Amen.
We can actually go into our community and make a difference in people's lives.
Amen.
We got to go. We got to throw this apathy away that's kind of crept in for the last couple years, and we need to get rid of it, and we need to go. We have a great opportunity. We have a lot going on in the spring. We can get some people into church, and we can help them to find Jesus Christ. But it's not going to happen if we're not willing to get up and get going. Our church is good at it. Can I just tell you something? We can do a little bit better. We can be a little more faithful to it. Let's stand together this evening. I know I went a few minutes longer than I normally do, and I appreciate your patience. Let's stand together. If we could just bow our head and close our eyes for a minute, let's just think. And by the way, let me just say this. The goal of this message isn't to make you say, you know, I'm serving God, I'm trying to do things, and you got to do more. Now, I'm not saying that. Now, maybe you look at your life and maybe you do need to do more. But maybe we need to be more focused in what we're doing. Maybe we need to be more faithful in what we're doing. Maybe we just need to get going. Maybe we haven't thrown off what has been taking place over the last couple years. Maybe we haven't got out of that. If we can look back, if you've been here for 2 years, if you can look back 2 years ago and you were doing more than you are now, maybe that tells you it's time to go. How many tracts did you hand out this week? Maybe when you leave, you should take 5 or 6 tracts and hand them out this week. Now, we're getting our Easter ones in, so we'll get those in your hands. We got to go. Hey, by the way, and I'm not harping on it, but we need to do something. There's some of you out there that could drive. We got to get this thing going. Our fourth bus is going to be here before the first Sunday in April. That's cute. What if we don't have anybody to drive it? We got to go. We got to care. And the blessing with that far outweighs any effort we'll put in. Piano's going to play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come? We can do more.